Is there a strategy that'll help you grow your company faster? CEO Sales Strategies is an investigative business podcast for entrepreneurial people who never stop asking questions. Highly acclaimed sales revenue growth expert Doug C. Brown interviews CEOs, business owners, and professionals who serve them to uncover and share actionable tips and methods behind their bulletproof sales strategies. Topics covered on the show include their failures, struggles, secrets, and processes that help them succeed in selling millions to billions of dollars of their products and services, all with the sole aim of helping you grow your business. If you are eager to know the most effective sales secrets from the A players of the game, then the CEO Sales Strategies podcast is certainly the place to be.
Hey, this is Doug C. Brown with the CEO Sales Strategies podcast. I've got a great guest for you as Mr. Dan Fantasia. And that is such a cool name. He owns a company called Tree Line Inc. And Dan and his company are recruiting masters. And they recruit that elite performer. So we're going to talk today about three things. Number one, founder-led sales and how you use founder-led sales as a growth strategy in your business. And looking for these top one percenters, we're going to talk about kind of the profile and the mindset of that one percenter. We're also going to talk about how you use recruiting with these type of people as a growth strategy in your business. We're going to talk about the happy times and the pitfalls that come along with actually finding them, hiring them, maintaining them, and what you should and should not do when it comes to finding elite performers. So without further ado, let's go speak to Dan right now. Hey, Dan, welcome to the CEO Sales Strategies podcast. Thanks so much for being here today.
Hey, Doug. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell everybody what you and your company does, and that will kind of set the frame for where we go on this call.
Yeah. So the name of the company is Treeline Incorporated. We've been in business since 2001. So for the past 22 years, we have had an exclusive focus on the recruitment of elite sales professionals for growing companies and for individuals that are looking to advance their career.
You're being too modest. I know what you do. So I'm going to tag this, ladies and gentlemen. So he, she, and they listening to the call, Dan's company does this right. And that's the reason he's on this call. Because we'll get into recruitment as a growth strategy, but a lot of them don't look at it as a growth strategy. They look at it as a placement service. And you also do something as well. I mean, you kind of like specialize in a lot of ways in founder-led sales. I mean, it's kind of something that you and I had talked about. And why don't we kind of start there and then we'll work into the recruitment side. That way, all of you who are like, oh, don't get to that, you'll have to listen to the rest of the episode. Haha. So Dan, what is founder-led sales to you?
Yeah. So let me take a step back. So we kind of fell into founder-led sales or CEO selling. And the reason being is because a large portion of our market share is in the technology sector. And as a result, we work with pre-revenue companies to companies that are 150 million in size. But our sweet spot is really, it is 5 million to 40 million. And as a result, when those companies come to us, many times they are struggling with their sales model. So they have typically a founder or founders that are the lead sellers. They're the people that bring in the business and they're excellent at it. When they look to scale their organizations, the challenge is they usually fail or they struggle to hire talented sales professionals that can scale the model. And the reason why they fail is, for many of them, the reason why they fail is because they misunderstand selling and their selling environment. What I mean by that is they are the founders. They sell differently than every single one of their sales representatives because they have the network. They've created the idea. They have the founders, the investors. It is a different way of selling. If you were to strip that all away from them, including their title, and say, please sit down and start making cold calls and bring in new sales, then they would realize that the sales organization will be challenged to bring in new business, and they'll need to define a sales model and activity metrics for those individual contributors to be successful, because they will not be able to mirror the founders or the way they sell. So you can't just hire someone that seems like a great sales individual that has had a successful career for the past 10 or 15 years and expect them to drop into the seat and start selling immediately. It just doesn't work that way. But many founders feel as though and think that's how it should work. And so that misconception really hampers their growth. When they get to us, we really spend a lot of time to understand the business, the characteristics of the selling environment, the organization, the culture, to help them find individuals that will fit that culture and help build a sales model of success so they can sustain it, but then they can scale it. And so that's how most founders get to us. They have tried it, they're struggling to do it, and there's a misconception as to how and what your first salesperson is going to look like.
I can only imagine that some of the founders and CEOs listening to this going, oh no, look at the mirror. And I can imagine there's some people who are selling, because people selling also listen to this, are going, gotcha, Dan, that was me. And so I know that, you know, I just saw a statistic the other day. There's like 72% of like the 1% producers, the elite performers, 72% of them who left the job within 60 days. And they cited the number one reason for them leaving the job is the job was misrepresented on their way in. And so what I'm hearing is that just because we as founders, you're right. I mean, we have a different positioning, right? It's like, I mean, if you were, I don't know, Dan Rather, and you went to speak to somebody, you know, on about news stations or whatever, right? I mean, he's been on television forever, but everybody knows him. If he's the, you know, if you're a guy who opened a manufacturing company and you have all the relationships and everybody knows you because, I don't know, maybe you spoke at the conference a couple of times, but then they hire someone who's got a lot of sales experience and they come in. What I'm hearing is they still need that onboarding, the recruitment, the training, the system in place in order for them to be able to adapt into that environment. Did I get it correct?
That's exactly right. It's exactly right.
So, all right, let's say my eyebrows are up. Or, you know, I'm a CEO, I pulled my car over and I'm crying in the parking lot right now from all the bad sales hires I made in the past. Where do I start, Dan?
Yeah, I think so. The first place to start is defining whether you need a sales leader or an individual contributor, right? Every company's different. It depends on where you are and how big you are. But the first place you need to start is to understand, do you need a leader in the role or do you need an individual contributor? And that's important because if you hire a leader, but there is no metrics built, there's no system built, and you say, all right, this person's going to build the system. That's great. But if you're so early on, that person, in order to build the system, will have to roll up their sleeves, get on the phone, email, cold call, do the job, right? So if you're not prepared to do the job, you're going to hire a person that's sitting in their office and they're thinking about all these great strategies, but still nothing's getting done because you still need the individual contributors to build the model, to run the activity, to test, A/B test, test the market, get out there and figure out what's working. If you are not ready for that manager, then you need an individual contributor that likely what we would typically recommend is someone that is an up and comer, that maybe is a team lead, that could potentially be your future manager. And what we want them to do is we want them to show us what they've built in the past. What model do they understand and can they build it again? And when we say build it again, we mean do it. We mean figure out how many calls you need to make on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and on a monthly basis. How many emails? What kind of cadences do you have? What kind of email marketing are you doing? What kind of LinkedIn connects and social media? What does it take to get a prospect to reply and respond to you? And then what does it take to close a deal? And once we figure that out, which could, by the way, take, it's going to take you a long time, but it's going to take 3 to 6 months just to start to figure that out. Once you figure out the activity metrics required to be successful to close one deal, now you need to really think through and figure out how many deals are possible on a monthly basis so that you can start to identify the monthly and quarterly and yearly targets of these individuals. Then you start building quotas. And now you figure out if a person could drive this much activity, they will produce $1 million in business. You hire the second person and what happens? They follow the exact same playbook, same amount of calls, same amount of emails, same amount of social. And now ultimately you will give them a $1 million quota. And now you can do $2 million in revenue because you have people doing the same activity that's scalable, that's successful, and that's how you grow. What most people try to do is they try to skip all of those steps and say, give me a senior level salesperson from my competitor, let them join our company. They're going to kick butt and they're going to make this happen. I expect them to sell. Go. But nothing's built and every environment's different. And so all of a sudden they get in and they don't do the calls. They're leveraging their network and they're trying to get through to people and it's not working. And the CEO is getting pissed and frustrated. They're saying we're spending all this money and there is just no ROI. So what happens? There's a clash and then it starts to fall apart.
Yeah. And so what I'm hearing is you want to have a leader, manager, a leader of some sort that eventually will manage, but they have to be successful themselves first. And then they're creating the playbook of success, duplicating that and hiring people who can actually achieve that playbook of a success. And that way, now we can scale the organization on the same sales methodology and the same sales process and system.
Exactly right. And there's, and you know, when we get into the recruiting part of this, those activity metrics tell us what kind of sales characteristics are required for the people you interview, right? If it's a highly transactional environment, we need highly transactional salespeople. If it's a very strategic environment and it's not transactional, we need strategic enterprise type of salespeople. So we need to understand, that's why we spend so many time with our hiring companies before we launch a search, because we need to understand this information in order for us to deliver an elite salesperson that can help grow their revenue. Now, you had mentioned something earlier that sometimes 72% of sales reps say they were oversold on an opportunity or they were deceived. One thing that we never do, we have almost no turnover. When we're working with a company, let's talk about what's good about the opportunity, why it's such a great place to work, and what are the challenges. We should be setting accurate expectations so we can help you sustain a sales force at number one. And number two, we want accurate compensation. If you oversell your comp plan and you have a really great person that builds out this model, but they make no money, what do they do, Doug, as a salesperson at 9 months? 12 months. They leave. They call us.
At best.
Yeah, they're calling us. So it's a team effort with the sales organization. You want to support them. But if you're hiring the wrong people, you're going to feel like you got burned. If you hire the right people, you understand the model, you will love them. They will love you. You'll build a positive culture that's dynamic and winning, and then you can scale it. You can pay people well. You can have successes, and then you can ultimately grow it.
We're speaking with Mr. Dan Fantasia at treelineinc.com. And we're speaking about right now how the founder transitions from that founder person to duplication within a sales team. Dan, you reminded me of a story one time. Somebody was like recruiting me out of the blue. Actually, I did a training class for somebody and one of the CEOs called me afterwards and he goes, I want to hire you. And I go, well, thanks for the compliment. Annual compensation is $5 million a year. I want to hire you. And I said, well, you have my attention. And he said this, he goes, $5 million is what you should make. I said, what is your nearest rep making today? And he said, no, I don't want to talk about that. I have the ability to make $5 million. I said, how many salespeople do you have? We have 11. What is the nearest comp that is happening today? And he goes, 200. Yeah. it was like it wasn't even $200,000. I said, okay, so tell me how I'm supposed to get to $5 million. And he went through the plan and the process. And I said, that's not achievable in the timeframe you're looking at, not because I'm a negative person, but it's going to cost you twice as much as you think it is on your budget to do this. And it's going to take you 2 to 3 times longer than you think. Because if you're telling me what you're telling me about your sales team, you've got to clear or retrain or something. And that's going to take 6 months in itself. And now you've got to rebuild from there. And he's like, no, you should make $5 million in your first year. I'm like, it's never going to happen. He said, well, and then I asked this magic question. I said, are you making $5 million a year? He goes, no, I'm not, but I own the company. I'm like, oh my gosh. So the reason I bring that story up is because, to your point, do not overpump the comp plan. Because here's the thing. If I came into this organization, let's say I took the job, which I didn't, and I made, I don't know, $1.6 million, which most people would be happy with, right? But the reality is I'm so far away from $5 million, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be like, whoa. Right. So if he had talked realistic numbers and we set, like you said, the good and the bad, what's good, what's bad? He didn't want to get into that. He just wanted to kind of put it out there. So Founders, please listen up. CEOs, if you own your company, if you're responsible for these positions, just be truthful. Tell them, hey, you're coming into an environment that our processes are awful. We're doing this about it, or we're doing that about it. And you said something, my ears went cha-ching, you know, ring, ring, ring. You said there's virtually no turnover when you do this right?
So the interesting thing is, you know, the questions you just asked, we would ask that of our clients, and we'd help them figure that out. Because when we're recruiting a top person like Doug Brown, guess what questions they ask us? Those exact questions. I mean, we are incredible. We've been around for 22 years. We have a humongous network. We've been doing this forever, right? When we're talking to our top reps and they're saying, you know, I'm selectively looking, but I'm not in a rush. When you find something that meets my criteria, let me know. And so when I'm sticking my neck out supporting your organization that nobody knows about because it's small and we're trying to build growth, we want to be able to stick our neck out and answer all the questions. The second we can't answer a couple of questions, Doug, you're saying to me, you guys aren't credible. I'm not interested in this opportunity. So it's our job to help our CEOs and the founders figure this out and ask these tough questions so that they have the answers. We have the answers. And as we go to market, we have a consistent message to make sure there's no confusion, there's full transparency, and we're not wasting people's time.
So truth and disclosure is really that important. And I agree with you 100%, Dan, because I mean, I've been in that position. Not only that, I mean, in my position, I was been asked many, many times as that. But I've also been in that position where I had 166 people that I managed and they were salespeople, right? So we had to kind of recruit and not kind of, we did recruit, right? In that process too. And I found that our elite players, they're the ones to be the most truthful too, because it doesn't scare them off. Like, you know, a lot of people I think as, oh, I need a top-notch salesperson. So I'm going to just kind of omit this and not tell them about this, or kind of puffery on this point a little bit. But if you just said, look, you know, our systems have messed up. You're coming into an environment where we're reorging and this is happening and it's a little messy and this is what the expectations you could have and this is what's not going to happen. And if we just did this, the ego strength of an elite producer goes, okay, I can help you with that. I can handle that.
Yeah, it's right. You're exactly right. Like we're not trying to oversell the company or the candidate. We're trying to find a good match. When you find a good match, you feel great. It feels great, right, Doug? Company grows. They refer you to people. Candidate loves the opportunity. They grow their career. We've built such a strong brand that we have such a loyal following because we believe one of our core values is do what's right. We believe in doing the right thing. There is nothing that feels worse than helping a person find an opportunity that you highly recommended the new company to, and 6 months later, it doesn't work out. You've disrupted their career. They're pissed. The client's pissed. Everyone feels like crap, right? There's just a pit in your stomach. We do not want to do that. We're not about just putting people in jobs. Help us figure out your model. Let's get to the transparency and understanding what a good fit is. Let's bring it to the market. We'll bring you elite salespeople. And just don't oversell them. Let's build a model together. And by the way, when you scale, you'll continue to use us because we'll keep bringing you elite sales talent that can help you grow that business.
I love that. Planting the seed, brother. That's all right. In a nice, tasteful way.
That's what we do. We just help one. Like a lot of these VC partners, they come in and they use us and we build basically a playbook for them. And they use us over and over and over again in their portfolio companies. And we continue to produce amazing results for each one of their companies.
I love it because planting the seed is a trait of a 1% earner, right? Listen up, founders. If you don't have these people, you want them, right? Because it's cool because you plant the seed and you never know that where that beautiful tree is going to start to grow out of that, right? But if you never plant the seed, it's like, I don't know what the stat is any longer, but it was like half the people in sales never ask for the sale or something like that. It was like, oh my gosh, you do all that work, you get there. And I've seen this happen. I've seen this where there's been 3 or 4 buying signals from the CEO. Like, yep, we're ready to go. Yep. And I had one say, you know what? I need a PO number on this. And the salesperson just like shied off it. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Right. So thank you for planting the seed. And I did want to say something, you know, like being a founder or an owner or somebody who's grown this baby from infancy all the way up and they've just toiled and struggled or and had good times too. It's not easy to do that. So sometimes we make mistakes as founders or owners. And the cool thing is, if you find the right people, the people you're talking about, those one percenters, those elite performers, they can think like a founder, an owner, a CEO in many cases. So they understand what that person is going through. And if they're, as we said, truthful to them, they can actually be an asset. And so they could say, oh, geez, hey, boss, I think you're running down the wrong path enthusiastically here. And here's the reasons why, because in situations I've been in, X, Y, Z, we did the same thing. We burned ourselves like here, you know? So we want to look at the profitability, not only just the revenue growth from what I heard, you know, and they could talk CEO language and things like that. And so I love this conversation because one of the biggest pain points for companies is finding the right sales talent. And I know people who have struggled for years and years and years and years, which now Dan gets referrals for, because the reality is it doesn't have to be a struggle, Dan, right? I mean, once you understand what you understand, it's not really that big of a deal anymore, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's a piece of cake. You just like throw an ad out there and, oh, you got 18,000 people that apply. What I'm saying is you have a system and a process down, which gives the founder, the CEO, the owner, the leverage of 22 years of you being in the trenches and doing this the right way now. And they can just walk into a system and do that.
Right. It's so with the right resources, it can be easier, but it's tough. I mean, flat out recruiting is hard. It's just, it is hard. We're working with people. So they're unpredictable, right? So it's a tough business for certain. But if you do it for the right reasons, like you feel really good about this when you help two parties come together. I mean, it feels great, Doug, right? Sometimes a company is looking to hire and what they say is, I know how we're going to make this easy. Go find a person for my competitor. And by the way, we're a $50 million company and our biggest competitor is a $1 billion company. The problem is, and you mentioned it earlier, is let's say we do go after those individuals. Now they come from a big organization. Many times they don't work well in a small startup entrepreneurial environment, number one. And number two, if they are considering you, what's wrong with them? Like Jack Welch used to call it a pot full of duds. Every company has their pot full of duds. And if those are the low producers in an organization, I don't care if they're a competitor or not. It's not a strategy for success. If you want to really figure out how to build a sales team, find out who those competitors are recruiting. Where did their people come from? Where did their top producer come from? Right? You're unlikely going to get that person. Why? Because they're going to cost you a fortune. They're going to ask for twice as much money. They're going to have all these demands that are unrealistic for you and a mistake for you to hire that person, most likely. Maybe a non-compete that you have to fight. But let's talk about a real strategy. Where is your top competitor recruiting from? Where are they finding their top talent from? Just because they're at your biggest competitor doesn't mean they're going to be a great salesperson for you. How do they do it? So there's a lot of different ways we would target us. There's a million different things and strategies we would have to help a company find really good talent. But you have to be thinking creatively as to how you're going to win the market. That is where you have to go. So just thought.
I think it's a great thought. And there's a distinct profile to those who will and those who won't, really. And you know, if they're coming from a multi-billion dollar corporation and they're coming into a $50 million company, they might be asking questions like, do I get a car allowance?
How many accounts do I get? What key accounts do I, stuff like that? Yeah.
Right. Right. What do you mean there's only 2 weeks of vacation here? Right. That type of thing. So it's one of those things that, and I think you hit a really good point, which is it's not just about recruiting, it's about finding the right match. So they play win-win. And what I've noticed is the companies that do the best job at that retain their people the longest. And they don't just retain the duds. Because if the system's set up right in the company, it actually flushes the duds out of the system. They can't compete on that level. So when they have these elite producers in their company, then what they're doing is they're constantly raising the bar. And it's like, quota doesn't exist, dude. You know, it's like, that's not even an issue. We don't even talk about quota. That's for the duds. And so they create this, I don't know, highly competitive, you know, NHL team. I mean, you and I like the Bruins and I'm sad what happened. But, you know, I mean, and so who makes it to the Stanley Cup? And so when you're on a team that can consistently do that over and over and over, well, Tampa Lightning came to mind, you know, they did it many years in a row. You're not going to be a C-level or even a B-level player and be able to hang on that team very long. I don't know what they do in the locker room. Maybe they beat them up. I have no idea. But the reality is, it's not hard to judge some sales numbers because you just look at, are they hitting it, exceeding it, or whatever. So I think it's a really good point you brought up. Let's talk about sales recruiting as a sales growth strategy, because a lot of times, I don't think people look at the recruiting strategy as it's actually a growth strategy. It's kind of like a need. They can kind of think about it, right? But Dan, you know, as well as if you do this right, it's better than any favorite meal you're ever going to have in your life. I mean, it's just one of those things that if you do this right, it's like, oh my gosh, the numbers are growing and I have less work as an owner, you know, that type of thing. So can you speak to that, please?
So well, right off the bat, if you take two $30 million companies side by side, one of them's open, dynamic, creative, and learning as they go, and they do it right and they build a playbook, to another that's just struggling. You can see side by side the companies that are kicking butt and growing and scaling and the ones that aren't. Now, we see them side by side all the time because that's what happens to us. And we're making suggestions and recommendations. They may not always be taken, but we can see it. We know what companies are doing well and what companies are doing wrong. And so many times a company or a client will come to us with a preset like determination of what they want. And they've been doing this for a long time. They say, this is exactly what we want. But when we start working with them, because we can drive pipeline and bring them elite sales professionals, we can help them become more educated in the market. So for example, maybe you are looking for a direct competitor. We'll bring you them. And when we bring them to you, you might find out that after a first or second interview, they're really not what you're looking for, but you thought you were looking for them earlier on. So what happens is, unfortunately for companies, they don't take sales recruiting or any recruiting sometimes seriously. Sales recruiting is very difficult. So internal recruiting resources usually don't spend a lot of time on it because there's so much rejection. It's so challenging to get, and maybe even intimidating for some HR departments to get a really talented salesperson live and interested in an opportunity. And as a result, they don't see the talent. And because they don't see the talent, coincidentally, they just happen to hire the one that they think is the best out of the group of people that they've seen. But it's because HR is focused on the ops role and the admin role and all these other roles that are low-hanging fruit, easier to identify, easier to find. But the salespeople, it's really hard. They're very confident. They have egos. You've got to get in touch with them. You've got to convince them to talk to you. And then you've got to convince them that there are opportunities out there that they should be considering. That doesn't bode well with many departments. So as a result, while the CEO finds it to be incredibly serious, the rest of the team feels as though it's the biggest struggle. So they never see the talent. They don't get the people they want. And then in comes Treeline. We have the network. We know how to do it. We bring talent to you so you understand who the competitors are and who the top producers could be in your organization. We introduce you to the talent. We show you their social backgrounds. We show you their compensation expectations. We show you their average deal size, their sales cycle, their quota. We give you all the data you need to understand if they're a good fit for your selling environment, knowing that they're interested in your opportunity, they want to speak with you, and it's your opportunity to kind of get them excited about who you are and where you're going. That is what's usually missing for most smaller companies. They just don't have the resources or the expertise to bring a level of talent and data, enough data to you to really, truly understand what it is that you're looking for in the next hire.
So Dan, if people want to get a hold of you or a hold of your company, they're like, okay, I got it. I want to talk to Dan. How do they do that?
And if they want, they can connect with me on LinkedIn anytime, message me directly. If you want, call me on my direct dial.
What's the number?
It's 781-327-8902. But also go to our homepage, hit the contact us form. We'll reach out to you immediately, or our resources page, Doug, treelineinc.com. The resource page has some really good articles on selling characteristics. There's a compensation calculator. I mean, that's awesome to navigate and figure out what kind of individuals you're looking to hire and what you should be paying them.
Well, and I would imagine there's not a lot of Dan Fantasias on LinkedIn. Are there more than one?
No, there's not. It's just Dan Fantasia. Yeah.
That's kind of a unique name. I mean, I have the last name Brown, so I'm sort of, you know, hosed on that one for sure. But I have a question that I know is probably looming with people listening, whether they're looking to come into a company or Let's talk about from the owner's perspective or the company size you're talking about. Let's say I want to hire 5 more salespeople, right? I'm a company, I don't know, I got 5 salespeople today. I want to double the size of my sales team. I'm the owner of the company. Everybody knows my name, as it was said in Cheers, you know, that type of thing. And for those of you who aren't old enough, Cheers was a show on television. Ted Danson, you can look it up. But I have the looming question, should I hire more salespeople now, or should I get set up first to be able to handle these elite producers and these top one percenters? Because Dan, I mean, I heard Doug on this podcast say they can be a bit of a handful too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, wild ponies that are running around out on the field if I don't have some type of corral or something to give them direction. So what would you say to the people that are saying, okay, should I hire them now or should I build something first and then go after and hire them?
I think I'd assess the sales team and see if all 5 people are at 100% of quota or above. And if they're not at 100% of quota or above, I would try to identify why. And it might just be their personality characteristics. Then I would probably top grade first before I did anything. I wouldn't scale. I would top grade.
For people who don't understand that term, top grade, would it be? It sounds like a Tom Cruise term, right? So
yeah. So I would basically be recruiting for my next top performer and releasing my lowest producer.
What? Right? What? What? We just don't keep them on payroll and keep paying them even though they're costing us money?
Right. Yes. I would do that first.
That blows away. That's done. No, I mean, how can we keep people on? We have to keep them on, right? He's my brother's sister's cousin. I got to keep him on, right? So I'm making obviously that to an extreme because I see that happen so often in companies.
You can't throw more bodies at it. When it comes to labor efficiency ratios, you need to make sure your team is all at 100%. If they're not, then they can't be there. So you need to top grade. And if your team can't help you find additional elite sales professionals, then you need help. You need some kind of resource that can get you there. And yeah, if we could help you. And how do you know? Your top producer now might be a bottom producer after we introduce you to some additional talent.
What? We top grade the top grade?
But you know what I mean? Work through the bottom of the organization that can't hit their numbers and top grade. And then once we have a real team and a strong LER, then we think about additional scale. But it makes no sense just throw more bodies at it and hope that something's going to work.
Wise, wise advice. Because I see companies do this all the time. Then they go out and they recruit the 5. One out of the 5 works out. And then they lose somebody internally because they realize, oh, I'm exposed. Then they leave. So now they're down. They got 4 salespeople, right? And so it's just a never-ending cycle. I mean, that's like really sage advice. I wanted to, like, this top grading thing, so many people have aversion to embracing that. And I will tell you, all that are listening, and Dan knows this because you've been doing this for 22 years. It is one of the highest growth strategies you can play within a sales team, right? You release the ones who aren't working and you fill it. So if you look at your top producer today and you say, this is our bottom level metric of what we accept, and you make your top producer your lowest metric, then you're going to hire people at least there and above. And so now you have a new standard. And when you bring enough of these people in, the bottom crew is going to feel shaky anyways, and they're going to leave. But as you said, you could proactively do it in a very nice and kind way. And founders, CEOs, sales managers, sales VPs, presidents of divisions, for the love of whatever deity you listen to, do not give your best leads to the lowest producers to prop them up. Please, 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 please. And I see that happen over and over, Dan. And then you look at it and you do exactly what you just said. You top grade it. Get a guy like you who actually knows what they're doing. You help them top grade it. All of a sudden, their revenues go up, but their profitability goes up.
Right. That's exactly right.
Wow.
Yeah. You're growing not to grow. You're growing top and bottom line revenue. But many times we have all kinds of techniques, but there's an emotional attachment sometimes by the hiring manager or the sales manager. And they struggle to identify, and they're hopeful that based on a pipeline that may or may not be realistic, this person's going to make it through. But in actuality, it typically doesn't happen. And because sales recruiting is so hard and they don't usually have the resources, they avoid it and they keep the team. What's so interesting, Doug, is The number one service that we offer is contingency, the contingency search. It costs companies nothing. If they don't hire from us, they don't pay. So many times it makes all the sense in the world to try our company and see if the talent we bring is better than the talent they presently have on staff. And when you can help a company see what real talent looks like, the cost is irrelevant because you bring real talent to the board. You help grow revenue numbers, you grow LER, you grow profit, and the company takes off. But without that support, you're just making it that much more difficult for the CEO, the founder, the hiring manager, the VP, whoever it is. If they don't have the resources to find these people, it just becomes a battle. And as a result, instead of battling through it, they'll just keep the duds and hope that they'll hit their number.
And no fireworks on 4th of July at that point, except the one producer that's actually doing it.
Right.
So wait a minute, did I hear contingency? Because that's like risk reversal. I don't have any risk. Did I hear contingency?
Well, yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, if you were to work with us, the first thing I'd say is if for smaller companies, I'd recommend contingency, not retainer, because for them, they may not have the budget and they want to be cautious, right? It could be risky. So it's okay. Let's help you through this and we'll figure it out with you. But what I always say is you should know that we hire within 30 days. I mean, our average search takes 30 days to help you hire this person, not necessarily when they start, but by the time you are within 30 days, you'll make an offer. And so you should be prepared to pay a fee. We're not joking. We will get you the hire that you want. And so be prepared. If budget is an issue, don't do it. Why go through this and then get to the final stages? You want to hire the superstar, but realize you really don't want to spend the fee on it. You know, we're a very genuine company. We're just trying to help founders and executives figure this out. And when they figure it out, we can help them scale the company. But if it's forced on them, don't waste your time. Don't waste our time. If you don't have the budget, you don't want to really try it. It's okay. I'll brainstorm with you for free. You don't have to use our services. It's not a big deal.
Wow. Risk reversal, 30 days. By the way, I know you can do it in 30 days. That's quick. A lot of people are like, you know, that's quick. But I know you have a system and a process to achieve this. And that's one of the reasons I wanted you to be on this show so that people could hear this, because I know they struggle with this, right? I mean, I deal with companies all the time. This is one of their top five struggles in their company. So Dan, I really appreciate you being here on the CEO Sales Strategies podcast. I don't know if I ought to ask this question, but is there anything you were like, I hope Doug asked me this question, but I didn't, or did I cover it all?
There's so much to hiring that you and I could be here for days. So I think you covered the most important things, founder-led sales and companies that are trying to grow, that are struggling. I think we've covered. It's a good foundation to getting started.
Excellent. Well, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. What'd you learn? Well, I hope you learned a bunch of stuff here. Firstly, if you're going to go try to recruit these people, please do not oversell the position. Want to be truthful. Yes, I said truthful, not honest. Honest is subjective. Truthful is objective. These people are not afraid that if things aren't 100% there, as long as you tell them up front, they're going to help you solve those if need be. But here's the thing. If you hire a person like this and they are truly a top 1%er and you don't have systems in place, you don't have the processes in place, they're going to make it up because they want to make money. And if they find they can't accomplish that, they're going to flush out of your organization pretty quickly. And that costs you a lot of money. If you are a 1%er and you're interviewing, ask the tough questions. I know you do anyways, but ask the tough questions. Ask them, is anything like going to be an impediment, right? This is a win-win scenario that you want to have on both sides, company side and the rep side of the business. Tell them exactly what you want, and companies, tell them exactly what you want. Make sure it is a good fit. Remember, if you don't have these people today, you can bring these people on. I loved what Dan said about first, if you're starting out and you don't have a sales leader, i.e. a manager, and a manager's job is to grow that department or that division. That means growing the revenue and the profitability. That means coaching. That means recruiting and helping with recruiting. You want to bring the best talent there. Think of yourself as a top, you know, I love hockey. So NHL general manager or manager of the team, you want the best of the best and you want to get them there. And it's going to cost you a little bit to get them there usually. But the reality is when you look at the numbers, it's so worth it. And those of you who are top 1%ers, you're not going to just give your talent away for free. So you've got to convey your own value in that position as well. So what I loved about what he said was also about top grading. if you have a team today and they're not all performing, look at your top producer, that top person. And what you want to do is say, okay, what are the characteristics, traits, and what are they doing on a daily basis? Capture all of that information. That's how you can start out with a sales playbook, by the way, if you don't have one. You start with that top person and you really document this out. And then what you do is you go, this is going to be our bottom line standard. Our bottom line standard is our number one producer today. And we are not hiring anybody under that profile, under that ability. That's it. And you start building from there. Then when you get there on the, you know, the next annum, if you will, or you're looking for more people, you do the same exact thing. You take that top person and you say, this is our lowest standard. And you just keep doing this process over and over and over. And over time, you will fill up with elite producers. Now, remember, you got to get the back end in play for these people as well, but that can come. But start that process and don't be afraid to ask them for help as well. Because elite producers love to jump in and say, oh, this is better. I can make this better. Great. Make this easier. Great. Leverage this. Great. Leverage that. Great. Leverage, leverage, leverage. You're going to hear that from all the time. If you love this episode and you like Dan and you think you want to reach out to his company, please do so. You'll find all the information in his show notes. And if you love the episode, please give it a 5-star review. Tell your friends about it. Give this away to other people. We do this podcast because we view this as, hey, look, we're bringing the best and the best that we can. People learn things. And it's our way of giving back to our community. If you're an expert, you know somebody who is an expert and you think you would be a great guest on the show, or you know somebody who could be a great guest on the show, reach out to us at YouMatter, YOUMATTER, at CEOSalesStrategies.com, and let us know. If you are looking yourself to be in the top 1%, no matter where you are and you want to get there, we can help you. We are opening a 1% Academy this year in the late fall. If you're interested in that, again, reach out to YouMatter at CEOSalesStrategies.com. And I have an ebook coming out on the nonstop 1% earner. If you would like a copy of that ebook, please reach out to us at that same address, YouMatter, YOUMATTER, because you do matter to us, at CEOSalesStrategies.com. My name is Doug C. Brown. I'm the founder and the CEO of CEO Sales Strategies and the CEO Sales Strategies podcast. Go out, sell something, play win-win, sell a lot of it, sell it profitably. They win, you win. Remember that game. You win, they win. That is the best sale that will spark more referrals, more existing internal expansion, external expansion in your business. And if you're a company looking to say, oh, geez, I want to learn more about how I can expand my revenue, reach out to me directly at Doug@CEOSalesStrategies.com or DougBrown123 is my LinkedIn. Until next time, go out and sell something and to your success.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the CEO Sales Strategies podcast. What is something that you learned that you could act on today? Don't forget to schedule it now, or it may never get forward momentum. If you find our content valuable, please leave a favorable review and let us know what you liked. Please also share this with others if the content will help them. For our show notes, other episodes, and more interesting content and resources, please visit CEOSalesStrategiesPodcast.com. See you soon, and to your continued success.